Welcome to the weekday podcast of Sugar Hill Church, a church that truly is the perfect place for folks who aren't. So whether you're exercising, driving, meditating, or just hanging out with us today, thanks.
Well, hey, welcome to the weekday podcast. My name is Zach. I get to serve as one of the pastors at Sugar Hill Church, and it is my privilege to be with you today. We've been in this series in the Gospel of John, talking through a chapter a day as we dive through the entirety of the Gospel of John. And today we're in chapter 17. And this title, or this chapter, is titled The High Priestly Prayer. This is a prayer that Jesus spoke, and it was actually the last prayer, his final prayer with his disciples before going to the cross. And in this whole prayer, Jesus gives an account of the mission and the purpose for which the Father sent him here, and he also prayed specifically for his followers. So let's dive in a little bit to that and unpack it today. And we'll start off in verse 1, in the second part of verse 1. And Jesus says this. He says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." And he continues to go on, but we'll jump down into verse 6. I would encourage you to read this whole thing if you haven't. Maybe even hit the pause button right now and read through the rest of this chapter. But we'll continue in verse 6. And he says this here in verse 6. He says, "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me." And the prayer continues on, but pausing right there, we see right from the get-go that Jesus is beginning this prayer by giving an account of his mission, the purpose for which the Father sent him, but he's also acknowledging before God that he has served a divine purpose, that the things that he said and the things that he did were of God, and they were directed by God. Now, as we continue through this chapter, there are three really big thoughts that jump out at me. Easy to remember three big thoughts. I don't think I can remember many more than three, so I think three is a good number for us to take a look at here. There's a lot more that we can dig in, but we'll start there. So three big thoughts that stick out to me from this chapter and this prayer, this very important prayer, is first, this idea that Jesus existed before creation, that he is a part of what we call the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, we could spend a two-hour podcast unpacking the Trinity. We do not have time for that, nor am I a scholar enough to share anything of great value with you there. But we do see this distinct difference between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and how they interact. Jesus has just been teaching about the Holy Spirit that is going to be sent in chapter 16 from yesterday's podcast, but he's also teaching now about the fact that he, the Son, existed with the Father in glory before the world existed. Verse 5, it says this, "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." So immediately we have established here that Jesus is holy, set apart, different, part of the Trinity. There is something unique and profoundly incredible about this Jesus. And the second big thought that jumps out at me is not really a mandate here, but there's a specific order and a way that Jesus prayed here. Now, he doesn't specifically tell us you should pray exactly like I did here, but I think there's wisdom in the way that he prayed, because he started off by praying to God with his own personal relationship with the Lord, his purpose. And I think there's some great wisdom that we can find there. Have you ever found yourself jumping into a prayer or a time spent with God, maybe even a meditation, and you didn't think anything about your own walk or relationship with the Lord? Maybe you immediately jumped in and started praying for prayer requests or things that are going on around you or other people, but never took time to focus in on your own individual walk with the Lord. I think there's great wisdom there for all of us to glean with how Jesus prayed. He started off praying specifically for himself and then transitioned to praying for others. man, what a great thing for us to model as well. It's difficult to serve other people and love other people and genuinely pray for them when our own individual walk with the Lord is not right. And the third thought that I glean from this whole prayer, there's many, many verses here where Jesus is praying specifically for different things, but one thing that stands out to me is that Jesus prayed specifically for you and for me. See, in verses 6 through 26, he's unpacking this whole prayer for his followers. And at first, he's talking about those that are with him in that moment. He's talking about his disciples, his followers that have been following him. And then he makes a transition in verse 20. And he says this, "I do not ask these things for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." So Jesus prays specifically for you and for me as followers. That is incredible that our Savior prayed specifically for us. In verse 22, he goes on to pray that we would become one with him, so that the world will know that God is the one who sent him. In verse 23, he talks about desiring that we would be one with him so that the world would know that he was indeed sent by the Father, that we may be with him. And in verse 24, he talks about his desire that we would be with him in eternity, that we could exist with him beyond just this world, but we could spend eternity with him. And then in verse 26, he closes out his prayer with this beautiful statement. He says, "I've made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." So today, as we ponder on this passage, and as we think through what Jesus prayed through here, these three things just stick out to me in my head, that Jesus, this Jesus that we worship, he existed before even creation existed, that he is a part of the Trinity, and that Jesus modeled this way to pray about his relationship with the Father and then use that to serve other people. And lastly, that Jesus prayed specifically for you and for me. That blows my mind. It's incredible to think that our Savior prayed specifically for us, that we might be with him forever. I hope that's encouraging to you today, and I really do encourage you to go back and look through this chapter, this prayer. There's so much rich content in it. It's impossible to get through in one podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thanks so much for joining us today for the Weekday Podcast. We would love to see you at Sugar Hill Church for one of our gatherings each Sunday at 9:30 and 11, and we are always streaming live at live.sugarhill.church. Again, thank you for joining us today. Please share these weekday podcasts with friends and family by tapping the share button. Have an awesome day.